feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for joining us here on EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. Barbara McGuigan is in the house, and I'm trying to get my act together. Barbara, how are you?
I'm really good. Well, that's important, Chuck. I like when your act is together.
It is, you know. And you know, really, some people aren't fond of me either way, but I at least try to do the best I can to make that... that little transition there. But anyway, Barbara is in the house. If you'd like to talk to Barbara, the number's 1-800-585-9396. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Barbara. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams. Michael McCall produces the program. One flight of steps. I am a mess. I need to mix in a salad or something because I'm having trouble here with my cardio. Michael McCall produces the program. Your call screeners, Mr. Matt Gubensky and Jeff Burson, nice person, is handling our social media endeavors. As you heard audio evidence moments ago, our hostess, she is every Tuesday in the house, our very own pro-life warrior, Barbara McGuigan. Barbara, how in the world are you?
I couldn't be better, Jack. I couldn't be better. Very busy summer. Very busy. But what's new, right?
Well, exactly right. You've had like a revolving door in this new shack of yours, huh?
I'm not in my new shack yet.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay.
I'm in my old shack.
Oh, okay. Well, you've had a revolving door in the old shack.
In the old shack, for sure.
Now, how does that affect your property value?
It just drives me a bit crazy, that's all.
Yeah. We've got a question for Barbara. The number is 1-800-585-9396. Barbara, we had an email that came in last week that we thought was very interesting, and you're going to have to read that. I do not have it in front of me, so...
Okay. Not a problem.
I will pay you double this week because you're doing my job and your job.
Not a problem, Jack. Okay. We received an email from a dear soul by the name of Mary Ann. And she's very concerned about immodest clothing. And she felt like this is a topic that's never spoken on Catholic radio about, or TV, or from the pulpit in churches, and on the sinfulness of immodest clothing. And so she wants to know, would it be good to hear about the sinfulness of immodest clothing? What are the guidelines of what is too short, too low cut? What is appropriate? What is not?
You know what my rule for my daughter is?
What's that?
From your earlobes to your feet, no one touches, no one sees.
There you go. Well, see, and that's what it really takes. And so I'm glad you said that, Jack, because that's an important thing. The dad has to be involved in his daughter's modesty. Or, other words, she could very possibly become immodest. So I want to answer Mary Ann. I thank you, Mary Ann, for your thoughtful email. Even St. Thomas Aquinas was as concerned as you are, as he referred to modesty as a forgotten virtue. He wrote, "There can be no chastity without modesty, and no modesty without prudence. The sin of immodesty has contributed, I mean, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure this out, to the demise of many souls, because immodesty itself leads to so many serious sins." And I was thinking, Jack, when I was working on this, that do you remember the TV series called The O.C.?
I remember it being on. I'm proud to say I never saw an episode.
Well, you are very wise. It was very, very popular. Each week, eventually it showcased every single sexual mortal sin. Okay? only the devil could have devised such a scheme, if you ask me, because every teenager that I spoke to, and in those days I was going England, Ireland, Canada, New Zealand, every kid that I talked to, because I brought this up in my seminars, watched this garbage disguised, as you might expect, as something beautiful and romantic. And at this time, Teen Magazine was the most provocative rag that all the young girls were familiar with. So it wasn't surprising when one of the teen starlets in the OC put her beautiful God-given face on two full pages of this magazine that said at the bottom, "Be sexy!" exclamation point. It doesn't mean you have to have sex. Well, I used a copy of this ad to make a point, and I would always ask, what is wrong with this picture? Unfortunately, very few got the distorted message, but there were some who would come up with an answer. And I would always say, yes, you are right, if he or she did. It sends the message, reveal your body as a come-on to attract attention. And then when you are approached by a poor person who has succumbed to your immodesty, you try to explain you meant something different. It's a cheap shot. This is unfair, dishonest, disrespectful, and irresponsible, especially if you consider this person is already attracted to you. You have just succeeded in bringing him down, possibly for the first time, or keeping him down if he has already bought the lie of impurity. And, of course, the devils are dancing. The bottom line is, because every human person is made in the image and likeness of God, we can never use, own, or manipulate another person. Immodesty is manipulation. Then I thought of the 100 years of Fatima that we're celebrating this year, and how can we cast aside, Jack, what Our Lady, the mother of humility, the mother of modesty, said to the children at Fatima, and then to all of her children, which includes everyone on the planet. Certain fashions will be introduced that will offend our Lord very much. More souls go to hell, she said, for sins of the flesh than any other reason. Because immodesty is the cause, once again, of so many sexual sins, Our Lady was impelled to say this. She was not afraid to talk about hell, and she was not afraid to show the kids at Fatima a glimpse of hell. Other saints have also talked about hell. Saint Francis de Sales referred to hell as the gray city of sadness in his seventh meditation. The damned are in the depths of hell as though trapped in a doomed city where they suffer unspeakable torments in every sense and every member. I have Father John Burns coming back, author of Lift Up Your Heart, which is all about the ten meditations of St. Francis. Great book. Oh, it's such a good book. And he said, imagine a city huge and sprawling. A great and endless smog hangs over this city, a place with no color and no music. Its people never see the sun shine. The city reeks with the stench of sulfur, sweat, and sadness. No windows or doors to block out the heavy air, and no real privacy in which to hide from the constant dreariness of life. No laughter is ever heard in the streets of this city, only the sound of wailing, discomfort, angst, and anxiety. No clean water and never enough food, and guess what? Nobody dies. This city's name is despair. Death would be a welcome end, but it has no place in this city. Nobody in this city will ever leave. Remember, our bodies at the end of time will be reunited with our souls. And just as the people in hell used all their senses and members to commit sin, so in every member and in every sense they endure the punishments due to sin. There are special sufferings destined for particular souls. These are the torments of the senses. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable sufferings related to the manner in which it has sinned. St. Faustina, I'll bring her in for a second. There are caverns and pits of suffering where one form of agony differs from another. She said, I would have died at the very sight of these sufferings if the omnipotence of God had not supported me. Of course, the worst suffering in hell is the loss of God for all eternity. So this is it. It's no secret. Immodesty is the cause of many sexual sins. Picture a beautiful, pure castle shining on the hill, which is protected by a moat, right? Why did castles need moats? So evil men could not break into the castle to reap and pillage and damage the beautiful castle. Modesty, then, is the moat around the beautiful, pure castle of chastity. But if modesty is broken down, chastity, a virtue that resides in the soul, a promise of immortality. Remember, Jesus said, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. A promise of immortality. If modesty is compromised, chastity is severely damaged. Now, so as far as guidelines of dress go, this should not be difficult to figure out. You've heard me say probably on the open line in the good fight. Here in California, some men dress in shorts and Hawaiian shirts and look like they're going to the tiki room at Disneyland. And the women and young girls, unless the priest has signs posted in the vestibule to show what is modest or not, there are always women and young girls dressed like they're going to the beach. Short shorts, mini skirts, tank tops, low-cut dresses, bare shoulders, and skin-tight clothing. But you know what? It's especially hard to understand for me anyway, when the parents are often sitting right next to them in the pew. What are they thinking? Or why are they not thinking that their daughters are dressing in such a way that their entire family is showing absolutely no respect for God and His true presence in the Eucharist? And what about Dad? As a man, can he not see the message his daughter is sending? What about Mom? Who's buying these clothes for her? Will Mom or Dad consider themselves an accomplice to serious sin when the distraction and temptation their daughters are causing becomes an occasion of sin for other people in the pews and elsewhere? To knowingly and intentionally dress like this is sinful and can be even seriously sinful when through weakness serious sins of impurity are committed because of immodest dress. So I know we need to go to a break, Jack. So this is my wheelhouse. So I have a lot more to say, but we don't need to say it unless they want to call me. So you can go ahead and take a break, Jack.
The number's 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America. 1-800-585-9396. Open Line Tuesday with Barbara McGuigan.
Anna Mitchell.
I had this formative experience during one Sunday Mass in the Easter season in seventh grade. During the Gloria, I remember having this sense of being filled. If you can imagine what it must feel like to be a cup being filled with water, that's how it felt. It started at my feet and it moved up my body. And I've come to believe that that was the Holy Spirit. And I can really trace my zeal for the faith back to that moment.
The Sunrise Morning Show, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
On fire for EWTN? Get Amazon Fire TV. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Amazon Fire TV player. Never miss any of your favorite EWTN television or radio programs again.
Celebrating 100 years of Fatima with Monsignor Charles Pope.
On October 13, 1917, Our Lady spoke to the children at Fatima, and she said, people must amend their lives and ask forgiveness for their sins if they want healings or conversion. And she says, do not offend the Lord our God anymore, because He is already so much offended. Very often we want God to grant us many things, but the thing that God is most waiting for us to ask for is our own conversion. How pleased God is by this, and He will grant us every other thing besides if He can obtain our ongoing conversion. So Our Lady reminds us, pray. Ask God for things, but always ask for the most important thing, our own conversion, and the conversion of people we know and love, indeed the whole world. This sort of prayer pleases the Lord.
Join EWTN as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Visit EWTN.com/Fatima.
This is Bishop John Brungardt of the Diocese of Dodge City.
This is Colin Donovan, Vice President for Theology.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of Open Line Thursday. Thanks for listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
1-800-585-9396 is indeed our toll-free number anywhere in the United States and Canada. EWTN's Open Line. Tuesday, we talked the life issues, and we started off today with an email from Marianne talking about modesty and a topic that is very closely connected to the life issues. And, yes. You know, the thing that I found kind of interesting about this email is you would figure that, you know, Marianne feeling overrun with immodesty was probably writing from, you know, New York City or Chicago or Los Angeles in your neck of the woods or somewhere like that.
I would say anywhere, Jack.
Dickinson, North Dakota.
There you go. You were setting me up. That's exactly right. Anywhere. It is anywhere. And, you know, my heart breaks about this because even in my church, I see this. Even at the wedding, I just attended a beautiful Catholic wedding. There was one young woman that was dressed so immodestly. My heart was breaking.
Please tell
for
me
her.
It wasn't the bride.
No. Nobody in the family, even. Nobody in the wedding party or in the family. But it was such a sad thing. And I was wishing, I met a wonderful, wonderful Catholic priest who said the Mass. He is at Texas Christian. I think I told you about this. And he loves Catholic radio. And we had a nice chat after, at the reception, actually. And I didn't bring this up, of course, but I know of a wonderful priest who will gently go up to a woman that's scantily clad for Mass and give her a nice, clean choir robe to put on until Mass is over. And trust me, because of his gentle and thoughtful approach and his posted sign to remind them in the back of church, they dress modestly from now on, at least for Mass from this point on. And I know of another holy priest, Jack, who was sent to the chancery office by a mother who was incensed that father would not permit her daughter to eighth grade graduation. It was some kind of an eighth grade thing. And she was so dressed improperly, he said, no, I'm sorry. So he appointed someone else. Well, boy, he was nailed for this. Practices such as this, though, when you think about it, help everyone to see the respect that must be shown to the Blessed Sacrament first and then to the body of Christ in the pews. So there's so much to know about this. But the young kids, they don't, if you've never been taught, if you haven't been formed in what it means to be pure in mind, heart, and body, you follow fashion. You follow what's going on. You follow. You watch some of the music shows and the videos and everything like that. But it's so serious, Jack, because if we are unchaste, and immodesty is the wide open door to unchastity, the soul becomes the slave of lust. And then what happens? Our philosophy becomes the slave of fashion. There you go. So, anyway, I see we have a caller.
To the phones we go. Joe's our leadoff hitter today. He's in Knoxville, Tennessee, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Channel 130. Joe, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, folks. Hey, how do you deal with a wife when you bring up the modesty issue? Says, well, that's the man's problem. They need to get over it. That shouldn't cause them to want to go after that woman. And even brings up the rape issue. And I'm thinking to myself, this has nothing to do with that. It's You see the latest meme out there where I can't find any good, that where are all the good men gone? And they've gone to the computers and pornography because they can't deal anymore. So how do you deal with, and how do you answer back, you know, that from your wife?
I know what I'd do, but I'm kind of a smart aleck.
What would you do, Doug?
Well, you know me, Barbara. I'm 6'4", 270, and I would probably come out at the next time we had people over to the house in some extra small clothing and see if she had a different impression of the wearer's responsibility in the matter.
You know, really, that would really be something. Everyone would be modest from there on out. Sure. But, Joe, you have a serious question, and it's a good question. And it's unfortunate when, you teach the beauty of modesty and what it's all about, you know. It's about respect. I always teach that when you look at a person, you keep an other person in mind. And hopefully the other person is God, because that is the most important thing. But people do not, unless they're taught, it's not just caught. Put it that way. I don't believe it's just caught. And I mean, they can say that about faith. They can say it about other virtues. And good example, of course, is impeccable example is so important. But as far as modesty goes, I think it needs to be taught. And if you and really, I pretty much see this as the fault of parents. I really do, because they live with these kids. They're the ones letting them walk out the door. They're buying the fashions. And we live in a sex-saturated culture. It's deplorable. And these young kids are assaulted on a daily basis by immodesty. In the movies, in the music, I mean, I don't even have to tell you, explain this. In the sexually transmitted disease of the mind, which I call pornography, it is so cleverly disguised by the devil. And this is exactly who's behind these fashions. And he describes it, he disguises it as beautiful fashion and freedom, when it's actually degrading bondage. So if people understand this, Joe, it makes a lot more sense to pony up and insist on a dress code for your children. And sometimes you see men, not just Jack, but sometimes you see men that dress immodestly these days. I mean, really, it's just hard to describe what we are being assaulted by now, on TV especially. I mean, it is just from the pit. From the pit.
You know, Jesus once told a parable, Barbara.
Yes.
About when someone is going to rob a house, he first binds up the strong man
so
that
he
can't interfere. And we have, the culture has bound up the strong man that is the fathers in the homes of America. And
yes.
That is what has led to every last bit of this. If fathers were standing up and being diligent to make sure that their daughters and their wives understood the merit of their own existence and knew the affection of that father from a godly and holy standpoint, then many of these problems go away.
I agree with you 100%. If a young girl doesn't feel the love from her father, he's telling her that she's beautiful and he loves her back. He takes her out to lunch occasionally so the two of them can just talk. The guy down the street will tell her all these things too. And he doesn't have fatherly interests, I assure you. And if the parents are afraid to insist on a dress code, hopefully, because I've seen it happen, they won't be surprised when they find out that pristine state of innocence, purity, has been ripped from their precious girls when they come up to them and say, "Mom, I need some birth control," or, "Mom, I'm in love. I want to move in with my boyfriend." This is what happens. So when St. Thomas Aquinas calls them the forgotten virtues, chastity, modesty, and prudence, this has to be taught from the get-go, from the time they're little kids. It's such a beautiful thing to teach. I'm teaching this to one of my little granddaughters. She's only 6 years old. What it means to be modest and why you're modest so nobody looks upon you. She's just a tiny, skinny little thing. But nobody will look upon you as an object. She gets it. And she's only six. Because the question comes up, because we see immodesty walking down the street. So, Joe, I don't know if that helps at all, but keep up the fight for it, Joe. It's important.
All right, thank you.
God bless you, Joe. We appreciate the phone call. 1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. That's the number Annie used. She's driving through the great state of Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hi, Annie.
Well, we're going to get to Annie in just a minute.
I'm
not paying attention to the clock, Barbara.
I'm
holding my hand out for you to slap it.
You are in trouble.
The number's 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America. 1-800-585-9396. Hang in there, Annie. You're next.
Be a part of Mother Angelica's mission. EWTN Radio is seeking a dynamic producer to join our growing radio team. The EWTN Radio producer is responsible for managing all aspects of live and recorded programs, develops program ideas consistent with EWTN's mission, and collaborates with the leading voices in Catholic radio. For all the details about this exciting opportunity, click on employment at EWTN.com.
EWTN is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your cable or satellite provider doesn't carry EWTN's full programming lineup, give them a call and let them know you would like to receive EWTN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For more information, go to EWTN.com and click on television.
If you think cyberbullying is a problem that only impacts our young people, think again. I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection on EWTN with another Media Minute. According to Pew, roughly 4 in 10 Americans have personally experienced online harassment, and 62% consider it a major problem. Many also want technology firms to do more, but they're divided on how to balance free speech and safety issues online. According to the report from Pew that was just released, they say harassment is now, quote, a feature of life online for many Americans. In its milder forms, it creates a layer of negativity, they say, that people must work through as they go about navigating their daily routines online. At its most severe, Pew says it can compromise users' privacy for them to choose when and where to take part online, or it could even pose a threat to their physical safety. I'm Teresa Tomeo with another Media Minute on EWTN.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Tonight, 8 Eastern, EWTN Radio and Television, Mother Angelica Live Classics. And tonight, Mother talks about good things happen. She shows us that even in the midst of terrible things going on in the world, God brings forth His grace, gifts, and love. Boy, you watch these Mother Angelica programs from 20 and 30 years ago, and they could air today, and you'd think they were just shot 10 minutes ago.
It's so true.
I mean,
true.
She has such a timeless air about her and the way she handles things. It's really, really, and that's what happens when you base your life on the Word of God. That's where the timeless element comes in.
The truth is the truth,
that's right,
Jack?
1-800-585-9396. That's the truth. Annie, as I promised, driving through the great state of Nebraska. Thanks for hanging in there, Annie. You're on with Barbara.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks. How can I help?
Well, I have been married for more than 25 years, and I went shopping. And I came home with this outfit, and my husband said, "You cannot wear that. That is not modest." And I guess I'm needing a definition. My arms were covered past my elbow. My legs were covered almost to my ankle. I was wearing, I guess they call them yoga pants,
yes.
But I was covered, like my bottom was covered. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'm trying to, I know you can't see the outfit from where you are.
Well, did but, you ask him? Did you ask him why he thought it was immodest? Why did he think it was immodest?
Well, he said he didn't get, he didn't answer that question, actually. He said it makes you look heavy.
Heavy?
And so
that's not
well,
immodest.
So when is the funeral, Annie?
They had to find the body first. And
when two or more are together, there will be conflict.
That's correct. So I set the outfit aside, and I haven't worn it, you know, since I tried it on.
But wait, what would have been immodest? Was it revealing on the top?
No. Well, maybe a tiny bit, but not any more than any. I wear T-shirts a lot, and they're not low T-shirts, so I don't think that would have been an issue.
I would suggest that you ask him. My rule of thumb is always what I said earlier. Short shorts, mini skirts, tank tops, low-cut dresses, bare shoulders. Now you see a lot of these bare shoulders, but it's not... It's only the shoulder. I don't know. I mean, that wouldn't be appropriate for church. But, I mean, if you're going to the beach, I mean, something like that, a cover-up that was like that or something. Or is it, it's not skin tight, your little dress, your
long
dress?
It sounds like the pants are.
No, it's not. It's like the opposite. The top is the opposite of skin tight. The pants were
tight,
but you couldn't see them because
you can't see through. You can't see through.
No, you can see through.
You have the pants on, but the skirt is short, maybe. Above your knee, short. No, you said the skirt was long, right?
Well, in the front, it covers my belly button, but the yoga pants come way up because they're kind of high-waisted.
Okay.
So she's not wearing a skirt. She's wearing a shirt and yoga pants, essentially.
Oh, sure. Okay. Okay.
And in the back, the shirt goes really long. So
yes,
it definitely
I hear
covers
you.
My bottom in the back.
I hear you. Well, the fact that if it's too short in the front and you have yoga pants on, that can be revealing,
maybe
too.
Maybe that's it.
I think that's it. They're tight. Yoga pants are tight. Pretty tight. And so a lot of these gals that are wearing these around, I just wonder because it's almost like running around with, you're not naked, you just look like you have black on, right? But I think that might be it. I think that might be it. It's a bit revealing that way because it's so tight, Annie. And I would tell him that thank him. That means he loves you very much, and he doesn't want anyone else to be looking at you as an object. And that's a beautiful thing. I would thank him. Is that okay
thank
with you.
You?
All right.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay,
thank
God
so
bless.
Much. I'm glad to talk to you in person. I've listened to you for so long. So that's wonderful. Thank you for
God
all your
bless
work.
You. Oh, you're so, so welcome.
Thanks so much, Annie. Appreciate the phone call. One line open for you at 1-800-585-9396. We'll go from Annie to Ann. Ann is in Boise, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Ann, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Ann.
How are you?
I'm
my
good,
voice.
Thanks. Oh, no worries. No worries. How can I help?
This is just a comment. Excuse me. This discussion is bringing up a memory of about 40 years ago. I was in Venice, and I was wearing a halter top dress, and I tried to enter one of the churches down there, and the pastor refused to let me come in. And I was not Catholic at the time, so I didn't understand. And
yes.
I was very rebellious and angry, but I did not get to go in. And since then, I've become a Catholic for about 35 years, and I have learned the virtue of modesty, and I try to dress very modestly. And the other day, on Sunday, I went to Mass, and the only dress I had left my shoulders bare, and I put on a jacket in the heat to
there
be able
go.
To go to cover my shoulders. So, yes, it is important, and I've learned the value of modesty. And when I see a lot of the young women in church dressed immodestly, I find it very offensive, and I just wish that I could say something to them.
Oh, I'll tell you, I've almost gone up to different mothers, and my husband wouldn't let me. He said, just stay out of it, you know. But even the little gal at this wedding, this beautiful wedding, oh, it was just terribly revealing from all over. And I just, now, granted, she was not Catholic. I'm sure she's got a spiritual father, a very evangelical father, whom I talked to. I didn't even know it was his kid until the wedding was almost over, the reception. But, oh, my goodness. I possibly could have said something to him, but it seemed like he was a little frustrated with her to begin with. So, anyway, it's a difficult thing because of the fashions out there. Very difficult. Thank you, Annie, for calling. Ann.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks so much for the phone call, Ann. 1-800-585-9396. Next up is Sherry. She's in Central Illinois listening to St. Bernadette Radio. Sherry, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Sherry.
Oh. Hello.
How are you? Hi.
I'm doing great.
Good. That's awesome. Well, do you have a question or a comment or what?
I have a comment. I have been listening for a little while, and I have a solution, at least a small one.
Okay, good.
I got little kids, and I have a 7-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. Her school does not have air conditioning in it. So shorts are mandatory so she doesn't overheat.
Mm-hmm.
With the fashion that they have available, which is horrifying, with how short they are, I've been going over to the boys' section to get most of her clothes.
Yes.
All of the shorts there go to the knees.
Exactly. Bermuda shorts, I mean, really, that's uniform out here in California because it gets so hot. And in, you know, the desert areas and stuff. Bermuda shorts is another issue. But, I mean, when I see short shorts in church, my heart breaks for that child. And I'm talking teenage girls, but as I said, there again, if they don't have if the parents don't have what they need, you can't give what you haven't got. If they've never been formed in why modesty is so important, how can they give it to their kids? They can't, and they don't. So they go along with the fashions, and it's terrible, just terrible.
And
well, Sherry,
not
I
don't force them anymore either. That's what's driving me crazy. Because you see the little kids with those short running around.
Yes.
They don't do anything about it.
And also uniform roll-ups. Now, I must confess, when I was in high school, but when we rolled our uniforms up, they were mid-calf. And when we rolled them up, they were like mid-knee, in the middle of your knee. And but boy, oh boy, when I see rolled-up uniform skirts these days, it is, oh my goodness, they look like skating skirts. You remember what skating skirts used to look like?
Yeah.
So, it's but we have to always give the benefit of the doubt to these souls. That's important. And encourage our priests to put a little sign, two little signs, one on either side of the doors as you come into church, and they just explain, you know, what I said, you know, no short shorts or, you know, mini skirts, tank tops, low-cut dresses. You just say that, bare shoulders and skin-tight clothing. I mean, that's, you don't have to have a brain to know what that's about. And it's easy to get. And then have his choir robes ready. Have his choir robes ready. Darling, I think you're wonderful, you're beautiful, but you're not dressed properly. So please put this on. I don't want anyone to look upon you as an object. That's just not the way God made us to do. We can't do it that way. So, thank you, Sherry. God bless you, dear heart. Thanks for the input.
Thank you.
Bye.
That opens up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. Tish is the next up. She's in the great state of Nebraska, also listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Tish, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Tish.
Hi. It is so neat to talk to you. I listen to you every day, you guys. I mean, I love Catholic radio.
Praise God. We do too.
Well, the thing is, I know I've been listening a lot to what's been going on with our, you know, the previous conversations, is, you know, when we were growing up, going to Mass meant special, holy.
Yes.
And Mom always said, your best dress, your best shoes, your best hat. Now, that's dating me a little bit. Yep. But we knew what made going to Mass special and holy.
Yes.
And just this last Saturday, oh, my gosh. I mean, you don't even want to look at these people. I mean, and sometimes, I know sometimes, oh, she's only 14 years old, but she has on shorts that don't look like shorts. I mean, they're like short shorts and little tank tops. And I'm thinking, and as I said to the person that picked up the phone, I said, I wonder what Father sees when they come up to communion to receive the Lord. And I'm not saying that Father's looking for anything, but I know he looks at a lot of people, and I think, oh, my gosh. But I just think that parents don't think that they should have a certain dress for Mass, okay? And a lot of them will say, they're going to Mass. They're going to Mass. I'm just happy they're going, and if they want to wear a tank top and short shorts, that's fine with me. But, see, I guess I'm old school. I mean, well, really old school.
Then I am too, Tish, because I completely disagree with that. I think it's wrong advice. And I'll tell you what, though, on World Youth Days, I've been to a couple. That's why they want all the kids to be in these big T-shirts. Because, and that's very wise. Throw a big T-shirt on, and they're all dancing and having a good time. And sometimes it's almost down to their knees. So it's just, it just teaches them modesty, you know?
I guess it just doesn't, and for me as an individual, it doesn't speak well for me if I go in just, you know, like I just got out of the swimming pool or whatever.
I know.
I think there's a place and a time, and, you know, and dressing up says something about us as Catholic Christians. And I'm not saying, you know, that you have to dress to the nines, but look like you're going to the special place, the Mass.
Exactly, with reverence. You know, St. Augustine has a great quote on modesty. He says, in all your movements, let nothing be evident which could offend the eyes of another.
Oh, so I love that.
Isn't that beautiful? I've been teaching this a long time. I had it in my notes because it's such a good, and you're thinking of the other, not yourself, and not how fashionable you look, but how it's going to impact the other child of God. See?
Yes, exactly.
So, well, God bless you.
It was so neat talking to you guys. Thank you so much for the program.
Oh, thanks for calling. Oh,
okay.
Sure.
You have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, Tish. We appreciate the phone call. 1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. You know, EWTN is now available on the latest edition of Apple TV. That's a device that allows you to instantly stream EWTN right to your television set. It looks just like the smartphone app, only in HD on your TV set. To get the EWTN Apple TV, all you need to do is have a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Apple TV player, and then you'll just have your gateway right to all the great content from EWTN. Remember, EWTN is everywhere. To Mobile, Alabama we go. Juju is in Mobile listening to EWTN Radio. Juju, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Juju.
Hey, Miss Barbara.
Oh, how are you doing, dear heart? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, so I have a question.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a question about, I don't dress so feminine-like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still have the same dress that my husband and I picked out when I was 7 months pregnant and finally needing to show a little bit of a belly, you know?
Uh-huh,
and we just gathered it up in the back, and it's still... I mean, you know, it fits fine, and our son's going to be 21. I'm more comfortable in my clothes to, you know, muck out a stall, you know, garden around, pick up litter, all these things. And when I dress for church, I will have on a pair of, you know, pants and, you know, maybe a T-shirt top, you know, some a lot of times a sweater.
Yes.
But I just don't very often wear a lot of feminine things and girly things. I had to go out and figure out what to buy for our daddy's funeral mass about 2 years ago.
That's okay, Judy. Yeah. That's okay if you don't dress girly. You just want to make sure when you don't that you don't have skin-tight jeans on and a skin-tight T-shirt. And I doubt highly that you even think about things like that, right?
Well, I just, you know, I'm not sure that people look on me as a woman's woman. You know, I think sometimes there's a lot of emphasis on that. And I think some of the most beautiful women I know are the Irish nuns that raised us.
Never makeup.
You know,
right?
Fingernail polish, never jewelry, wrinkles all in their face, bags under their eyes, gray hair, probably because we really challenged them in school. But I mean, just gorgeous women because something about their appearance and the way they carried
themselves. They were dressed simply. Yeah, they were dressed simply. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
I really identify with that, but you know, that's not very often a dress works so well while you're bucking out a stall.
No, that's for sure. Listen, thank you, dear heart, for calling. We've got Karen and Sharon and Dolores waiting. Is that okay?
Yes, and be blessed, Ms. Barbara.
Oh, you be blessed, too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you, Juju. Appreciate the phone call. 1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. To the Rocky Mountains we go. Karen's in Denver, Colorado, listening on Denver Catholic Radio. Excuse me, Karen, you're on with Barbara.
Hi, Karen.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Hello.
Hi. How can we help?
I just wanted to make a comment about a poster that our priest puts up in our parish.
Good.
Comes out about April or May every year. Actually, it was a set of four. And the first one says, what would you wear to meet the president? And then it has some figures down at the bottom of things not to wear and things to wear. And then next week, it's what would you wear to meet a king? And then what would you wear to meet the pope the next week? And then finally, you know, what would you wear to the church?
Very subtle message he's delivering. And it makes sense. It causes you to think. And that's a beautiful thing. So you really don't even have to mark like a stick figure and all that sort of thing if you don't want. I saw that in one parish. I'm always thrilled when I see it in parishes. And, you know, 90% of the sermons that I've heard in these particular parishes are just spot on, you know. So the priest understands the value of the human person and the dignity of the human person that must be shown, see? And then all these other things don't, because, boy, we are bombarded with the opposite of what we should be taught, you know, now in the media. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful thing. God bless you.
Thank you for your show.
God bless you, Karen. Appreciate the phone call. That opens up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. You know, it's interesting that little series that she ran through. It's sort of kind of the way I look at mass attire, at least for myself personally. You know, I figure that we make certain claims about the resident of the tabernacle.
That's it.
And if I'm going to go to mass on the one day of the week that he requested me to come.
Exactly.
How can I possibly go not looking the best I look all week?
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense, Jack.
To the great state of Ohio we head. Sharon is in Ohio listening to St. Gabriel Radio. Sharon, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Sharon.
I just got back from a trip to Italy, and some of the things that we observed over there in the larger churches and cathedrals and basilicas, they would put signs outside the door with pictures showing that you had to have your shoulders covered.
No shorts.
The knees, they kind of show that it had to be like mid-knee, but most people they were letting in if it was, you know, towards the top of your knee. But they were pretty much sticklers for the covering your shoulders. And we saw a lot of girls that were wearing like these paper jackets that they were giving them if they had tank tops or the spaghetti straps or something like that. Wow. It looked like something you would see medical personnel wearing in an ER, only thinner. But they were covered, and then they could still go in and tour the cathedral or the basilica that way.
Very smart. Well, that's sure another option then. Yeah, that's another option. Yeah.
I'm sure after wearing those lovely things, those girls thought twice about how to dress the next time they went to a church. So.
That's it. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Yes. Well, Sharon, thanks for your call. That's great input. I knew they had signs up, and I knew they wouldn't permit certain things, but I didn't know about the little jackets. That's a very good idea.
I don't know if they had to purchase them or if they were given to them. We didn't see that happening, so I'm not sure exactly how that worked, but they were available anyway.
Smart thinking. Thank you, dear heart. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye.
Next stop is the great state of Michigan. Dolores is in Michigan listening to EWTN Radio. Dolores, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Dolores.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your show. I enjoy it always.
Praise God.
This happened several years ago. I was in the Better department store here in Michigan, and I was trying something on, and as it turned out, there were two young girls in the very next fitting room, and I could hear them talking. And the one was trying on, which I later found out, was a teddy. And she said, what will I say to him? Wait till I slip into something comfortable? And she said, oh, no, you wear it under your clothes. I was shocking at this conversation. They were young kids. And when I came out of the fitting room, the two of them, young girls, were out there, and she was paying for this teddy, which was laying on the counter now, which I could see what it was, with change. She didn't even know enough to get, you know, dollar bills for this, to pay for this, even though I know that's an immoral thing for her to be doing. But I'm thinking to myself much later, why in the world didn't I come up with something like, oh, aren't you so-and-so's daughter or whatever? And she said, well, yeah. And I said, could I have your mother's phone number? I haven't talked with her in a long time. But I didn't think of that until way later, you know? But this is how it's going. This is how these kids are today. And there's no dealing with them half of the time.
You know, they've been dealing with so much garbage on TV from the time they're little, even on some of the Disney shows, for Pete's sake. I mean, it's just the world, the culture is just in big trouble, I'll tell you, because, you know, the way I always like to put it, I might have said something like this, modesty in dress is a sure sign of friendship with Jesus. Don't you want to be Jesus' friend? Because obviously, they don't have a clue. The clue bird has not landed on their shoulder yet. And if it hasn't landed on mom's and dad's shoulder, it's not going to land on theirs either, unless they are, you know, someone comes along and speaks the truth to them. This is why it's so important. We're so aware of this. Thank you, dear heart, for calling the show. I appreciate it.
Very quickly, we'll head to Paul in Duluth, Georgia, listening to EWTN Radio. Paul, we've got about a minute left with Barbara. What's your question or comment?
My question is,
Paul.
How are you doing? So I grew up kind of with a Catholic background. I'm used to modesty, like I understand it. I'm hearing all these women speak about how, you know, they kind of didn't understand before they got into the Catholic worldview, or how the, you know, women need to be taught. You know, men are just simply triggered physically, and it helps men to get to know more than just what they see, to decide whether they really want to pursue someone or not.
What a great point that is.
Paul, that's so important, because if a man can look into a woman's eyes and he's not distracted by the way she's dressed, he falls in love. I tell these kids, I can't help it. That's the way it works. Put your clothes on and you might just fall in love.
1-8- Why am I giving the phone number out? This has been a stellar performance by me today here on EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. On behalf of our host, Barbara McGuigan, producer Michael McCall, our call screener, Matt Kubensky, and social media manager, Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. I'll do better tomorrow. Until then, God bless.